Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God that we have, and that we can hide it in our hearts, and that we can hold it in our hands, and that we can read it, we can study it, we can learn from it, and that you have given us the Holy Spirit to teach it to us and to illuminate the Scriptures for us and to teach us about Jesus Christ. I pray now, dear Lord, the Holy Spirit would take over this service and that He would instruct us from the Word of God about the name of Jesus Christ. And as we humbly come before your presence now, Lord, we give this service to you and lay all the praise and honor and glory be yours and yours only. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We have been studying this quarter the titles of Jesus Christ. And as we began with the name above every name, the name of Jesus, and what a precious name it is. And as we looked, as we progressed through the name of Jesus, we came to the title of the Lamb of God and why God called Him the Lamb of God. We looked extensively at that for a number of weeks. And then this a few weeks ago, we began a study of the title that Jesus gave Himself in John chapter number 10, where He called Himself the Door. Not a door, but the door. Now let's look at that again, just to refresh our memories from a week ago in John chapter 10. In verse 1, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. As we could look at verse 9, we could see that Jesus calls himself the door of the sheepfold. It's not a door like we see doors today, an object that we enter and exit and go through multiple times a day. And as we do that, and as we go in and out and open doors, I would remind you to think of Jesus, the door. But it's not an object like a door, but it is a singular personal noun, I am the door. And as we have seen in the last couple weeks, Jesus is the door to the sheepfold. This is how the sheep gain entry into the sheepfold. And we, if we want to enter into the sheepfold of Christ or the body of Christ, we must come through the door, Jesus Christ. And we've seen how the sheep door and the door, they are safe. The sheep are safe when they enter into the sheepfold. So you get salvation through the sheepfold. You get security through the sheepfold. And the sheep are satisfied when they're in the sheepfold. And as we've looked last 2 weeks ago, we looked in the book of Hosea. We saw Jesus as our door of hope. And then last week we looked at Genesis chapter 6 and Jesus is the door of heavenly design where Noah was told to set the door. He was never told to make the door. He was never told to build the door. He was not given the dimensions of the door. He was just told to set the door into the ark. A type of Jesus Christ, the door of heavenly design. This week, though, I'd like to look back in the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, turn with me to chapter number 10. As we continue this study of the door, look with me in verse 21. Exodus 10 and verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Well, that's some darkness. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness, and all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. We, of course, are talking about the plagues of Egypt, and this is beginning the 9th plague on Egypt. Pharaoh is continually hardening his heart, and he says, I'm not going to let you people go. I'm not going to let the Israelites out of my country. And he continually says no, and the plagues continually progress upwards in nature and stature. And here we come to the 9th plague, and the darkness is even felt. It is that dark. And we see in verse 24, and Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only, he always puts stipulations on it. If he's going to let them go, he puts a stipulation on it. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thus thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. I love that. Not even a hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord till we come thither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Well, of course, we're talking about the plagues of Egypt. The 9th plague here has been given the judgment of God. For 3 days, it's darkness so dark that they could feel the darkness. But of course, over in the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were living, they had light in their homes. It was just affecting, this plague was just affecting the Egyptians. But what were the purposes of the plagues? The purpose of the plagues were twofold. First and foremost, very obvious, was to get Pharaoh to release the Israelites from captivity so they could be allowed to return home to the promised land. That's the first purpose of the plagues. But there's another purpose of the plagues. The plagues were also to demonstrate to Pharaoh and to the residents of Egypt, as well as all the surrounding countries, nations and empires that were in existence at that time, that God was all-powerful and He was the one true God. So I don't see that in the Scriptures. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 5. And let's do a little study here before we get to the door. Exodus 5, look in the first two verses. And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. This is the sort of the introduction of God to the Pharaoh. It says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And look at Pharaoh's response in verse 2. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. He doesn't know God. He doesn't know Jehovah God. In Pharaoh's mind, he is God. He is God incarnate. Here in Egypt, they worshiped the Pharaoh just like they worshiped all the other things of the Pharaoh gods. So, and he looks around at his country and he sees these people in Goshen, the land of Goshen. And he sees a people without a country. He sees a people with no army. He sees a people with no property of their own, no land, no status in their country. And he says, your God's more powerful than my gods? You don't even have a country. You don't have an army. You don't have possessions unless we give you possessions. So how is your God more powerful than our God? Now go over to Exodus 7. And look with me in verse 1. God is going to have to teach Pharaoh a lesson. He's going to have to show Pharaoh and the Egyptians, as well as all Israel and the surrounding nations, that He is the true God. Exodus 7, look with me at verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. There's the first reason for the judgments, the plagues, to bring the people out. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Who should know it? The Egyptians. Is Pharaoh an Egyptian? Yes. When I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them, and Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. Now look down at chapter 9 and verse 14. Chapter 9, verse 14. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. The reason for the plagues, other than to let his people go home, was to show Israel, or show Egypt, and to show Pharaoh, and to prove to the Israelites, and to prove all the nations that are surrounded Egypt, that Jesus Christ, or the Jehovah God, was the one true God. He said, did it take purpose? Did it happen? Hold your place in Exodus. Let me show you a verse in 1 Samuel, chapter number 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4, we're talking about the Philistines here. 1 Samuel 4, look at verse 6. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing hitherto. Woe unto us. Who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods, watch, these are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Even the Philistines had heard about the true God and the plagues that God had rained upon the Egyptians and upon Pharaoh. It says it again. Let me just show you one other place in 1 Samuel 6. 1 Samuel 6 and verse 5. Wherefore ye shall make images of your emerods and images of your mice that mar the land. Ye shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure he will lighten his hand from off you and from off your gods and from off your land. Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts when he had wrought wonderfully among them. Did they not let the people go? And they departed. God had a plan and his plan worked. Did it not? Even the Philistines had heard about the plagues in Egypt. Now back to Exodus chapter 11. Plague of darkness. We saw now chapter 10, the inner part, last part of chapter 10. We pick it up in chapter 10, verse 28. In verse 27 it said, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more. For in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. And then the first three verses of chapter 11 are like a parenthesis where something has been foretold. So let's skip down to verse 4 because Moses is in front of Pharaoh still before verse 28 and 29 of chapter 10 were spoken. And Moses is pronouncing the 10th plague. And it says, and Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beast. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. Dogs will bark at a shadow. He said, not even the dog's not even going to raise his voice to the Israelites. against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. So the pronouncement of the 10th plague is here, and then chapter 10, verse 28 and 29 are spoken, saying, you'll see my face no more. Moses leaves the face of Pharaoh. So preparations are going to be made now by the Israelites. Moses is going to go talk to the elders of Israel and to the people of Israel and tell them to prepare for this 10th plague. And that's where we pick it up in Exodus 11, 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbors, jewels of silver and of jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, and in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Now go to chapter 12, look with me at verse 1. Looking at the preparations of the Israelites. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to the eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. There were preparations to make before the 10th plague came for the Israelites. First, they were told, go and borrow from your Egyptian friends and neighbors and the taskmasters and those that have been laboring over you and didn't want to give you wages for the day, didn't want to give you a cup of water and laid heavy burdens on you. Go ask of them. It says borrow, but it's also, you could say ask. Go ask of them of jewels of gold and jewels of silver. And the Egyptians freely gave it. Now all those things that they're accumulating are going to be used in the tabernacle when they get into the wilderness. God has a plan. God always has a plan. So they go and borrow. And it says, to prepare you a lamb and separate it. It's got to be a male without blemish, out of the sheepfold or out of the goats, and pull it aside and separate it, segregate it apart. And you're going to kill it on the 14th day. All of Israel is going to kill a lamb. And it talks about the preparations. If your family's too small, then we're going to come together as a family in one house. So there are preparations to make. But they also had to pack. Something that's not spoken here, but it had to happen, because when the 10th plague comes and Pharaoh's son dies, he thrusts them out of the land. They're already packed. They knew God's plan was going to come to pass. They were prepared and they were ready to leave Egypt. So they packed up everything and were ready to go. Now we come to chapter 12, verse 7. We look at the Passover. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. These are God's instructions given through Moses to the people of Israel for the Passover feast. There's no priest right now. There's no high priest currently in the Israelites. Aaron hasn't assumed that office yet. So each home was represented by the male head as the priest of the home. And they had to follow these instructions for the Passover to the letter. Take the male lamb out of the sheepfold or out of the goat without blemish and separate it and have a time of separation. I believe it was on the 10th day they separated it. And on the 14th day you shall all kill it. And then it gives them instructions on how to cook it, how to take care of the leftovers, how to be prepared physically when you eat it, because they're getting ready to get thrust out of Egypt. So there was no time on the day of the 14th to pack. All that's already been done. They're ready to go home. So the Passover instructions here. Now we look and see God's plan in Exodus 12, and chapter 12, verse 12. We see God's plan here. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the Lord shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And a plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And you shall keep it in a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. And you shall keep in a feast by ordinance forever. 7 days, and it goes on to the memorial, what you should do through this memorial. But God's plan was, okay, Israelites, you're going to take a branch of hyssop. And that's down a little bit further in chapter 12, I'll show you. You're going to take a branch of hyssop, you're going to dip it in the lamb's blood, and you're going to apply it to the doorpost on the right side and on the left side and on the upper lintel of the door frame. You're going to apply the blood. And when the Lord comes through and the death angel comes through the land of Egypt and he sees the door of blood, the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, what does it say, class? I will pass over you. What was the reason that they passed over the people? The blood. It's all about the blood. We always come back to the blood. The blood is throughout our Bible. We cannot have a bloodless religion because the blood of Jesus Christ is throughout this book. Amen. God's plan. The Israelites have been shackled into a miserable, horrific life of slavery. It didn't begin like that, but that's what it had become. But all that was getting ready to change. God had a plan. He had a timetable. And He had a purpose for everything He was doing. When God's plan was revealed, first it was revealed to Moses and Aaron. God's plan. And God's plan then had to be told to the people. God's plan still needs to be told to the people. And then the people have a responsibility to hear it. And when they hear the plan of God, then they must believe it and accept it for themselves. That's faith. And when they hear this plan of God, and they hear it, they believe it, they accept it, they must act upon it. Did the Israelites apply the blood to their door? Did they believe the plan of God? Did they act upon the plan of God? Did they hear the plan of God? Throughout it, they heard God's plan, they believed God's plan, they accepted God's plan, they acted upon God's plan, and then they waited upon God's deliverance. That's the same for us today. We are told God's plan in His Word. We are to tell others of God's plan. And when they hear God's plan, they are to believe it and accept it, act upon it, and then tell others and wait for the deliverance of God. It's no difference today. Does God's plan have to make sense to us? Really, does it? The Son of God's going to come from heaven, be born in a manger in the little town of Bethlehem, and He's going to grow up, and at about 30 years old, He's going to start His ministry, and He's going to minister for only about 3 years. And through those 3 years, He's going to perform miracles, and He's going to speak, and He's going to teach, and He's going to heal, and He's going to go to an old rugged cross, and He's going to die like a criminal. He's going to be put in a tomb, someone else's tomb, and He's going to be raised from the dead. Does that make sense to us in our logical minds? No, but by our faith minds, oh, we love the story. But for those that are unsaved and have never been in church and haven't heard the gospel, they're like, what? Really? How is that possible? Can you believe the Egyptian or the Israelites and even the Egyptians? Does God's plans make sense to them? I want you to choose a male lamb or a goat. I want you to kill the animal. I want you to apply the blood of the animal to the doorpost and to the lintel. And I want to use a hyssop branch. No other branch. I want you to use a hyssop branch with specific instructions on how to eat it, how to cook it, and what to do with the leftovers and how to be dressed. That's God's plan. Does it make any sense? No, but it's God's plan. Our responsibility is to obey God. That's it, is to obey God. If you'll notice, and we are almost out of time, I thought this was going to be a short lesson. We'll get out early. You don't know me better than that, don't you? Chapter 12, verse 14. Notice three things here. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and shall keep in a feast for the Lord, to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep in a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. He goes on and talks about the heritage of Israel. You are to continue this for all your generations, and they continue it today. Celebrating the Passover, and they have missed the Messiah. They have missed Jesus Christ is the Messiah that they were waiting for, and they're still continuing the Passover feast and celebrating and keeping this memorial. Yes, they have a heritage, but look what they've lost. They need to get their eyes off of the memorial of the past and look to the Passover lamb that it represents, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Notice in verse 21, then Moses called for all the elders to Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel on the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of this door until the morning. Specific instructions, just like we have specific instructions, we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Amen. They must use the hyssop branch to apply the blood, because the hyssop branch is a symbol of sacrifice and cleansing. That's why they had to use the hyssop branch. And we see the blood here pass throughout all these verses. I must hasten. Looking back now, as we have the full account of God, we can look back and we can see God's plan. We can see the blood. We can see the hyssop. We can see the heritage of the Jewish people. But notice with me again, there's blood dripping from the right side of the doorpost. And there's blood dripping from the left side of the doorpost where it was applied with hyssop. And there was blood dripping from the upper lintel of the door. What is between the right and the left doorpost and the upper lintel? The door. You see Christ's hands on the lintel, on the doorpost, and the nail-pierced hands, and the crown of thorns on the upper lintel. What is between the doorpost and the lintel but the door? The door. The means of access to enter their home with the blood applied to it for their safety and for their security was through the door. We are also slaves to sin. We have been redeemed from slavery if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have been redeemed from slavery by the death of a lamb. And once we enter through the door, the blood is applied and all are secure for all of eternity. The door, the Lord Jesus Christ, offers salvation, security, and assurance through the power and the promises of God. Our responsibility is to trust, obey, and to be faithful. The door. Lord, we love you. How we go so quickly through our scriptures when we read them sometimes. We oversee things that are just so simply there. I don't know how many times I've heard this lesson, taught this lesson myself, studied this portion of Scripture, and all the times I've missed the door. I'm always looking at the doorpost, or I'm looking at the lintel, or I'm looking at the lamb. But I believe the emphasis should be on the door. The blood-applied door. Bless the next service. Bless our pastor. Give him strength. Allow him to speak through the Holy Spirit's power. Guide now and direct. And help us continue this day to glorify you in Jesus' name.